grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, Buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in. Brought to you by The Hemp Store at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.
Do it, man.
Good afternoon, Chris Fowley from the Hemp Store.
Good afternoon, Johnny, and kia ora to all the listeners out there.
Now, it's another big old day up on K Road because it's First Thursdays, so that usually means there's heaps of action up on K Road. People, you know, like playing music and stuff going on, and people doing cool stuff in their businesses.
That's right. It was all being set up as I left, or all getting underway. Mm-hmm. And it's the first Thursday of spring.
Oh, true,
so
nice. More reason to spring into action and go
to
K Road.
Yeah. We've got some substance checking going on right now at the Hemp Store. Drug Foundation are there. Free, legal, confidential. Quite busy at the moment. So, we'll see how that plays out. But be prepared to wait a little bit or just go for a bit of a stroll.
Mm-hmm.
A roll-in stroll.
I was thinking about that because we're kind of in that sweet spot where the year has just vanished and everyone starts looking toward the summer holidays. Does that mean people start potentially planning what they're going to be doing and or taking over summer? So it's the right time to get it all checked, isn't it?
You're right on. That's exactly right. And, you can make an informed decision by knowing what you're taking. Whether to take it or not.
Yeah.
Go get your money back. I think they offer these sorts of guarantees,
I think. I think usually,
Reputable dealers do.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And that's what we get under a health-based approach, is that kind of thing. And speaking of which, this is a great segue there into our lead story of the week, which is that under the so-called health-based approach that we have, no surprises, drug law enforcement, cannabis law enforcement in particular, still discriminatory. This is the latest data out of the police on their arrests. It shows you actually have pretty much spot on a 50-50 chance of being prosecuted if you're caught with drugs.
Oh my goodness.
About half the time, the police are, so not like 0% of the time, not like when, oh, you've got this discretion, we expect you to use it unless there's a public health interest. Well, it turns out half the time police are still arresting people. Mm. And if it's your first time, for some reason they've decided that a previous interaction with them is an aggravating factor. So if it's your first time being caught with drugs, that drops to only 17%. So, you know, that's great. That's down from about 50% a few years ago. So that's a great thing. Got to pay credit here to Derek Cheng in the NZ Herald, who has done a great job over the last couple of years at getting this data and is an ongoing series, really holding them to account with this data that he's getting out of the police. But what he found, obviously, what we've been saying quite a bit, it's actually got worse for Māori under this new law because you give the police the discretion and it turns out their biases, whether conscious, unconscious, or plain out racism, those biases come to the fore. And so sure enough, now what we have is Māori for the first time making up more than half of the prosecutions. So that's actually a change, and it is for the first time making up more than half. The health referral pathway is what they're calling it.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about this a few shows ago as well, where the police have this actual guideline to help them interpret it. It's about 17 pages or something. I've got a copy of it. It's quite long that you work through. Eventually there's a flow chart. And if you follow this, it really is strongly hinting to not arrest people.
Mm.
It really is. It's threatening them with so much paperwork and the derision of their peers. And still, this health pathway, it turns out, according to this data, latest data from the police, it's only used in 3% of interactions with the police.
It's crazy.
It really is. It's ridiculous. Here's something that is also interesting. We've also discussed on the show the Police Drug Harm Index and a recent evaluation that a whole bunch of drug policy experts and academics did on drug harm. And, and in both those things, they found that LSD is the least harmful of all the illicit drugs. So guess which substance gets prosecuted the most at 80% of interactions, and that is LSD. So the one that the police's own drug harm index says is the least harmful,
they prosecute
the most.
Is that just because it's A class? It is A class, right? Is it A or B?
It is A. That's so exactly right.
So it carries the heftiest potential, you know, like repercussions for the people that are caught.
But so do other A class ones. So yeah, that in itself doesn't explain that. But you know, the change itself, this police discretion doesn't give them any kind of guidance as to, oh, it's A class, you should bust them, or it's cannabis, you should leave them alone, or it's medical, you should definitely leave them alone.
Yeah,
you know. So that's what we really need. We need proper decrim.
Yeah,
and clarity. So meanwhile, over on News Hub, they covered the story too. Cannabis advocates frustrated as drug dominates use and possession offences, and they went and talked to Aucklandman Chris Hansen, who has multiple cannabis possession convictions, all related to his homemade medical cannabis products. And he, of course, said that one of the problems is it's put in the hands of individual police, and so there's inconsistency. And he gave a case, or an example, where they were trying to put him inside for 6 months. The prosecutor was going for his homemade medical cannabis products. So, yeah, bloody hell. So anyway, we can do something about it, and that is, of course, voting for parties and candidates that are actually going to fix this up. And Toke the Vote, cannabis-based voting guide that we had on the show last week. You can check that out. If you do the hashtag Toke the Vote, I'm sure it's going to come up. And as we discussed then, Green's got the best policy so far. ALCP, top Te Pāti Māori, also leading contenders for your votes. Labour have got us to where we're at the moment, which is great, but they said they won't go any further. They won't decriminalise.
They won't, even if they get another term.
That's what they've said.
Okay.
Well, not explicitly as that. But
wow, crazy.
Roughly that. The best, of course, with National Enact is you might hope that they won't go backwards. But even then, that's going to be a big hope.
Yeah.
So, you want to do something about it, make sure you're enrolling and voting, rolling up and voting. And roadside rally this Saturday. Come along, it's on Ponsonby Road.
Yes!
Ponsonby Road, right outside our Western Park.
Okay.
Where those kind of weird, trippy, submerged buildings are.
Yeah,
you can
building.
Get high and contemplate them. So, good traffic flow, good visibility. It's just for an hour, high noon. Bring a sign. Or your favourite weed t-shirt, or just yourself. Just come along and be present. This Saturday, high noon, Ponsonby Road, Western Park.
Invite 3 News, 1 News.
Go on then.
The spin-off, all them. Come and take some footage.
Thank you very much.
Cannabis is
have
a...
Have you?
But we should.
Oh, yeah, we
this
should.
Isn't a, this is an open invitation
it
if
is.
You're out there listening.
It is. Come along. Yeah, no. Anyone driving along or going past, give us a toot.
Yeah.
And we'll have a toot too. Meanwhile... Radio New Zealand and News Hub this week both ran a story, medicinal cannabis industry growing after government relaxes regulations.
Has it actually happened? Has it been chilled out?
Well, it's going to happen before Christmas, by the end of the year. Okay. That's what they're saying. And so these changes eventually are expected to make it cheaper for patients with a prescription. That's one of the big problems at the moment. Medical cannabis on a prescription, it's about the same price as illicit cannabis, but that makes it very expensive, particularly if you're a medical user. You might be out of work or not working as much, and you might have to use quite a bit. So cost is definitely a thing. And what these changes are aiming to do is let all these producers get to the export markets that they've been locked out of so far through our own stupid
rules. This makes
rules.
Complete sense. It's so bizarre that we'd be... held back by our own super, you know, high bar.
Yeah, ridiculous. And it's cost, you know, a lot of businesses a lot of money in that while they've been waiting around. So that's going to lower prices because you get that scale of production and get to it to ramp up and actually get some revenue in that. So it's going to be good for patients here. But the other thing is by fixing up these anomalies, it lets imports come in that have previously been blocked. So people often say, why can't I get this or that I see online? And that's because of our stupid rules. So that's all going to be fixed. So we've got to give them credit for that. That's bloody good.
Yep.
A few years late, you know, but get there eventually. And we're going to have more about that on the daily blog. I'll put a whole bunch of detail about that. It's a bit dry to go on here, but we'll put a bit more detail there. And one of the things that, of course, we've got to remind people of, only 6 to 10%, if you go by the prescription numbers, only 6 to 10%, of people who use medical cannabis are actually doing it legally through a prescription, and everyone else is kind of locked out. And there was a nice piece on the spin-off this week, another good one on the spin-off, and that was by Claire Halford, who's a doctor at the cannabis clinic and prescribing cannabis there. And and she's pointing out, as we often have, that medical cannabis users still aren't treated like users of other medicines, and that they can still face... driving and workplace issues, in that there's, even though there's a legal defence in our driving law to testing positive to THC, you might be arrested and prosecuted before you get to use that legal defence. And if you're a medical user, there's issues, of course, if you're facing workplace testing at work. So good on her for raising these issues. Hopefully they will get resolved.
I thought it was a great article, you know, like put forward a fairly succinct and straightforward, you know, position and argument for people to just like absorb. So it's worth checking out, people.
Right on. And you could even show your employer or a hesitant GP that you might be dealing with.
Yeah.
Right on. So that's the major news of the week, I guess. And in the kind of shorts, music department might not be the right station. This is probably more for Gold or Coast. But US singer-songwriter Jimmy Buffett, I think that's how you say it.
Passed away.
One of the world's richest musicians.
Is he really one of the world's richest?
Yeah, yeah. And it's because he did the song about drinking margaritas called Margaritaville. He then opened a chain of restaurants and resorts targeting the elderly and their fixation on margaritas.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a cannabis company, so that was the relevance there. And that's what's made him bucket loads
super
of money.
Super rich.
And live to the ripe old whatever age he did. Meanwhile, speaking of making money off targeting the elderly and infirm, the New Zealand Herald over the last week has been running a power list of the barons of booze. And worth checking out, just for the eye-watering amounts of money involved in the liquor trade, all the way from the supermarkets through to the craft people.
That's crazy.
And so while I was like, wow, what is this? This is like PR for hard drinking. And, you know, support your local industrialist by buying all their liquor. And a quick search of the Herald and the Otago Daily Times, who are related, they've been running a series, actually, of thinly veiled PR pieces that seem to all be coming from Virginia Nichols of the Alcohol and Beverages Council.
I saw one the other day and I was like, oh my God, PR. It's total PR. It's so crazy.
It's interesting, isn't it? This is very interesting.
Oh, no,
very
that research is wrong. It's actually, this is the case. Yeah, there's a lot of that in there.
Yeah. And you know, don't mistake me, of course, for a prohibitionist or anti-alcohol. It's just it's an interesting position for them to take.
Quick question for you, Chris Valley. Would NZ Loyal Party decriminalise?
I don't even know who they are. Who the hell's that?
53095, if you could. I can probably just do a quick Google. NZ Loyal Party.
Fringe party.
Could be a typo as well on the old phone. Okay, Chris, back to the shorts.
Speaking of parties, Radio New Zealand covered the Aro Valley election meeting down in Wellington Central, and this is always a... the media always cover it. They hand out water pistols or something like that. It's always a bit of fun. Michael Appleby running for the Aotearoa Legalised Cannabis Party. He got a little bit of coverage on Radio New Zealand because all his responses related to legalising cannabis, of course, and then he took the microphone and asked the fellow candidates whether they had ever smoked it, and they all said yes. There you go.
Chris, another question. Here we go. Question. I eat raw flour for gut issues and occasionally cake or cape or edible. If I eat raw, will I fail a test? Cheers.
Good point. So when you're in the raw cannabis form, it's THCA, the acid form. It's actually non-psychoactive. Probably be metabolized in a different way. I would say there's probably a bit of a lack of research on that, to be honest. You could try it by just testing yourself. You can go down to the old chemist warehouse and get a test, or at the hemp store, even better. Support the hemp store. Go get yourself a test.
Up on K Road.
That's right. And 50 nanogram is the level on the collection cup. So eat your raw flour and then test yourself and see. And let me know. Let me know. That would be very interesting. Also, just a little bit of law reform of the Pacific. Joining Vanuatu, Cook Islands and French Polynesia, now we have Fiji, where the cabinet has just agreed to conduct a feasibility study for growing medical cannabis there. Bloody good. Who would have thought, eh? Fiji. So it's all happening around there. And if we can just mark 35 years ago today, this is big in law reform circles, 35 years ago today, the DEA's Chief Administrative Law Judge, Francis Young, ruled that cannabis should be reclassified under federal law and said that marijuana in its natural form, I'm doing a DEA judge voice here, one of the safest therapeutically active substances known to man.
35 years ago.
There you go, 35 years ago today.
Man, shit still changes pushing. Slowly, doesn't it?
Still pushing.
Wow.
So there you go. And then a brief little, don't forget, substance testing right here at the shop, at the hemp store, right now.
On now, up on K Road.
Up on K Road. Rally this Saturday, high noon, Ponsonby Road.
Yes.
And Canaposium coming up 7th of 8th October at the old Surrey Hotel. You know that place, Greylin?
Oh, yeah, on the corner there. Yeah.
There you go. What? So it's a medical cannabis symposium happening 7th and 8th of October.
Okay.
And then J-Day, 2nd of December to round out the year.
Oh,
boy,
yes.
That's going to be good.
It'll be sunny by then. It would have stopped raining.
Yeah.
Can't rain anymore. It's got to stop soon.
It's got to.
Okay, Chris Bailey from the Hemp Store, thank you so much. Everyone out there, head on up to the Hemp Store right now and get your substances checked.
Right on.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.
Thanks to the Hemp Store. Visit them at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.